Welcome, everyone. You're listening to a podcast of Alive Covenant Church. To learn more, visit us at kitsapalive.org. Today, we are exploring a book entitled Emotionally Healthy Spirituality by Peter Scazzaro. We are calling this series, I'm Stuck, We're Stuck. And our hope is that we'll get unstuck from family of origin patterns, or how we deal with anger, or living without limits, and the list goes on. So slow down with us and allow God to go to work. May God bless you. As a church, we have been focusing on this book from Peter Scazzaro. It's called Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, and if you can go to the next slide, we've defined emotional health as that you are self-aware, that you are able to receive love well, and you are able to give love well. And today, I'm excited to talk to you about the Sabbath. So would you pray with me, and then we're going to get right into our scripture today. Lord, we give you thanks for sunshine today, for clear skies where we get to see the mountains and the water and all of the beauty of creation, and we delight in it. We are so grateful for this life, and we are so grateful on this day for Ted and Carol and for Logan and for each person who makes up this community that wants to follow you and love each other and be your people in the world. We pray today that we would be able to hear the scripture, to hear your voice, to hear how your spirit is moving in this understanding of Sabbath, that it is this gift that you give us. And so would you teach us about this gift and how we might receive it and how you might shape us through it. May we understand your scripture rightly. May you speak through the words that I've prepared for today. Amen. All right. Little context before we get in the scripture. We're going to be reading Exodus. About a month or so ago, we looked at the life of Joseph, who became the second in command in Egypt after his brothers had sold him into slavery. And Joseph saved Egypt and his brothers and their families from a severe seven-year famine. In our book, when we looked at it, we also saw Joseph teach us how to grieve. The book of Genesis ends telling us that Joseph died. The book of Exodus begins by telling us that eventually a new king came to power in Egypt, who knew nothing about Joseph or what he had done. But Joseph's descendants had become so numerous that the king was scared that they would overtake the Egyptians, and so he made them slaves. God then used Moses to free his people from slavery in Egypt, and they escaped through the Red Sea and were led out into the wilderness, and this is where we pick up the story today. If you would, turn with me in your Bibles to Exodus 16. Exodus 16. And we're going to start with verse 11. So they have just escaped Israel, and they are out, or they have just escaped Egypt, and they are out in the wilderness. Chapter 16, verse 11, it's page 56. Then the Lord said to Moses, I have heard the Israel's complaints. Now tell them, in the evening you will have meat to eat, and in the morning you will have all the bread you want. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God. That evening, vast numbers of quail flew in and covered the camp, and the next morning, the area around the camp was wet with dew. When the dew evaporated, a flaky substance as fine as frost blanketed the ground. And the Israelites were puzzled when they saw it. What is it? They asked each other. They had no idea what it was. And Moses told them, "It is the food that the Lord has given you to eat. These are the Lord's instructions. Each household should gather as much as it needs. Pick up 2 quarts for each person in your tent." So the people of Israel did as they were told, and some gathered a lot, and some only a little. But when they measured it out, everyone had just enough. Those who gathered a lot had nothing left over, and those who gathered only a little had enough. Each family had just what it needed. Then Moses told them, "Do not keep any of it until morning." But some of them didn't listen, and they kept some of it until morning. But by then it was full of maggots and had a terrible smell. Moses was very angry with them. After this, the people gathered the food morning by morning, and each family according to its need. And as the sun became hot, the flakes that they had not picked up melted and disappeared. On the sixth day, they gathered twice as much as usual, 4 quarts for each person instead of 2. Then all the leaders of the community came and asked Moses for an explanation. He told them, "This is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow will be a day of complete rest, a holy Sabbath day set apart for the Lord. So bake or boil as much as you want today and set aside what is left for tomorrow." So they put some aside until morning, and just as Moses had commanded, and in the morning the leftover food was wholesome and good without maggots or odor. Moses said, "Eat this food today, for today is a Sabbath day dedicated to the Lord. There will be no food on the ground today. You may gather the food for 6 days, but the seventh day is the Sabbath. There will be no food on the ground that day." Some of the people went out anyway on the seventh day, but they found no food. The Lord asked Moses, "How long will these people refuse to obey my commands and instructions? They must realize that the Sabbath is the Lord's gift to you. That is why he gives you a 2-day supply on the sixth day, so there will be enough for 2 days. On the Sabbath day, you must each stay in your place. Do not go out to pick up food on the seventh day." So the people did not gather any food on the seventh day. The Israelites called the food manna. It was like white coriander seed, or it was white like coriander seed, and it tasted like honey wafers. And then skipping down to 35, so the people of Israel ate manna for 40 years until they arrived at the land where they would settle. They ate manna until they came to the border of the land in Cana. When I read this scripture, here's what sticks out to me. Verse 12, "Then you will know that I am the Lord your God." That part of this whole process was God showing this group of people that he was the Lord their God and that they could trust him. What also sticks out to me is that they had to trust, it was forced, that they would have to trust him daily to provide for them. And it was specifically said, don't keep anything until the morning. But it took 40 years. Imagine that. 40 years of forced Sabbath. You didn't have a choice. There was no food out there on the seventh day, so there was no work to be done. There was nothing to collect. 40 years of forced Sabbath to help them not try and get a little more. To help them not try and get a little more. And to help them to trust that God would provide for them. And to help them undo their identities or their self-worth, that it was not determined by what they would do. These were slaves for at least the last 300 years. So generations of slaves. What we are is what we're able to produce. But they were God's people who loved them when they weren't even productive. And that they were supposed to realize that the Sabbath was a gift. It was a gift to be able to stop working. All right. Would you put the next slide up and start that video? just clicking on the picture. Do any of you recognize this and what commercial it might be? Old people do, that's right. It's a 7-Up commercial. And what would happen in this 7-Up commercial is this guy has this big, deep baritone voice, and he would say, 7-Up, or the Uncola, and it was refreshing. And my thought, as I tried to put the video in for today, was that why wouldn't we have this an association with Sabbath of, a day to rest, a day to be with family, a day to ride our unicycles, a day to play. Why wouldn't we have this same kind of reaction? So I'm going to see if I can even get the video to go and work, but this is not working. Well, help me out here. We're going to push through the technical difficulties. Alex, give me your best impersonation of the Sabbath. Good. Here we go. We're getting this association. Ted, play with me here. The Sabbath. Joni, give me your best. The Sabbath. Good. All right. So try and remember, I guess, that feeling. But instead, if we go to the next slide now, what we have is many of us would say that our schedules are overloaded, we're busy, and we have problems with limits. And so when we did our little test, as we looked at the different emotional unhealthy traits of spirituality, that was a big one for us, of living without limits. And when I was at Midwinter this past year, this study was referenced by Michael Zigarelli from the Christian Post. Put up the next slide, if you would. There we go. They did a survey of 20,000 Christians around the world, and it revealed that Christians worldwide identified busyness and constant overload as a major distraction from God. And so Michael Zigarelli, who conducted the survey, from his post as Associate Professor of Management at the Charleston University School of Business, said that it created a vicious cycle that prompted cultural conformity. He says it may be the case that, number one, Christians are assimilating to a culture of busyness, hurry, and overload, which leads to God becoming more marginalized in Christians' life, which leads to a deteriorating relationship with God, which leads to Christians becoming even more vulnerable to adopting secular assumptions about how to live, which leads to more conformity to a culture of busyness, hurry, and overload. And then the cycle begins again, and we get in this cycle. If you pull out your order of service, this bulletin that you have, in creation, at the very beginning of the scriptures, we see that God rested from all his work on the seventh day, and that he blessed it, and he said that it was holy. And then we see in the Ten Commandments, if you skip down a few lines there, that one of the Ten Commandments was, remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. And on that day, no one in your household may do any work. This includes you, your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, your livestock, and any foreigners among you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and everything in them. But on the seventh day he rested. That is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath and kept it holy. Would any of you imagine that stopping from work and resting would be considered by God as important as not killing someone, as not stealing from someone? Like, how does this make the top 10? That you're supposed to stop. More important than anything else, this is what I want you to know. Top 10, you need to stop. And you need to rest. And you need to observe the Sabbath. Well, what did Jesus say about the Sabbath? In your bulletin, you can also see that Jesus said the Sabbath was made to meet the needs of people and not people to meet the requirements of the Sabbath. That the Sabbath wasn't a legalistic thing, that it was made for our good. It wasn't something that we had to jump through hoops with. Jesus also broke the Sabbath when you read through the scriptures. But ultimately, it's not the Sabbath that gives us rest, but Jesus is what we learned from Jesus. But the Sabbath for Jesus was a good thing. It was something that he practiced, and he wanted people to know that it was for your good. It wasn't something that was legalistic. Well, was this only for Jewish people? Was it only for the Israelites, or was it for the church as well? Well, in the New Testament, we see that it switched to Sundays or the Lord's Day, and that's why we're here today on a Sunday versus Saturday, which is the traditional Sabbath. In Acts 20, verse 7, on the first day of the week, we gathered with local believers to share in the Lord's Supper. Paul was preaching to them, and since he was leaving the next day, he kept talking until midnight. I wanted to focus on the Sabbath today over the daily office, because if you read chapter 6 in the book, he focuses on both. I wanted to focus on that one for Sabbath because it's a commandment of God. The daily office is something that we see practiced in the scriptures. We see Daniel do it. We see David do it. But the Sabbath is something that God says is important as you not killing someone this week, as important as you as not stealing from someone this week, as important it is for you to not covet what other people have, is for you to stop. Stop working. Trust me. Remember that I love you even when you're not productive, that you don't have to earn this love, that you can't earn this love, that all of this is a gift. I want to put some quotes up here on the board, because as I was reading through chapter 6, I noticed that all of the different people in there are some of the people who I look up to in the faith, and so it was like name after name. Here's the first one from Scazzaro himself. He says, at the heart of the daily office and Sabbath disciplines is stopping to surrender to God in trust. Okay, next. Henry Nouwen says, without solitude, it is almost impossible to live a spiritual life. Next. Dallas Willard, silence and solitude are the two most radical disciplines of the Christian life. I got to shake Dallas Willard's hand when I was in seminary. I had no idea who Dallas Willard was. He was the father-in-law of my friend. And so he introduced me to his father-in-law. And I was like, hi, father-in-law. Nice to meet you, Dallas Willard. And then later on, I read his books, and I was amazed. And I was like, why did I not try and hang out with Dallas Willard more? But silence and solitude are the two most radical disciplines of the Christian life. Next. Sabbath is not primarily about us or how it benefits us. It is about God and how God forms us. I don't see any way out of it. If we are going to live appropriately in the creation, we must keep the Sabbath. Eugene Peterson, he wrote The Message and wrote a number of other books that I would recommend to you. Next. Finally, Mother Teresa had this pattern, and she wrote about this for all of the people who came to work with her, that they would have this rhythm of life. She said, you know, and we've wondered, like, how do you keep doing that kind of hard work year after year? Well, she said, the sisters shall spend one day in every week, and one week in every month, in one month in every year, in one year in every 6 years, in the mother house, where in contemplation and penance, together with solitude, she can gather in the spiritual strength which might have been used up in the service of the poor. According to all of these authors and all of these people who I at least look up to in the faith, we need Sabbath. We need Sabbath if we want to live a Christian life. You need Sabbath. If we want God to form us, we need Sabbath. And actually, as I say it, let's keep, would you all do this with me? You need Sabbath. And then you, every time I say Sabbath from now on, you just say, ah, all right? So if we want God to form us, we need Sabbath. Thank you. If we want to live a countercultural life that's going to change the world like Mother Teresa, we need Sabbath. If we want to live a different reality in this world, if we don't want wars happening all around us, if we don't want divisiveness happening all around us, we need Sabbath. It gives us a time to reframe our worldview. It gives us a time to listen and be with God. It gives us a time to focus on what's important, the people around us, the people who make up our lives, to reconnect with God, to be in nature, to delight. The scripture says that God rested on the seventh day, that he rested and he delighted in what he did. Our days today on the Sabbath, good, some of you are still with me, is to rest. And it's to look back over the week and to say, what are all the good things that happened? What did my work accomplish? What did my time go forward to? It's a time to reflect. And through this, God shapes us. We need space and we need time to imagine and we need time to reflect. One question as I was preparing for the sermon that gets to me, and the kids somewhat went along with it, but it's, at what time does the Sabbath go from being the greatest thing that you would ever want? I get to spend time with my family, I get to play, I get to do all these things, to something where we begin to say, well, you know, you don't want to be legalistic with it, where we begin to justify it in whatever way we do so that we can do what we want instead of do what God wants. What age is that? In your bulletins, I'll ask you to open it again. I ask this question of how does the Sabbath help me? And I put in the answer of obedience. It lets God be God. Because at the heart of it, we want to do what God says, and so it's obedience. And it's rest and delight, what I just was talking about. And it's about identity of who am I, and remembering and refocusing and being congruent in who God made you to be. But for you, how does the Sabbath help you? What's your answer for that? How does the Sabbath help you? Write it in there. Keep it in your mind. And then on the flip side, why don't I observe the Sabbath? I wrote in there that we want more, and so we work more because we want more. We don't trust God to provide, and so we think we need to figure out a way to add to what we have. And the last one, that our identity is based in work. It's how we understand ourselves. It's what we feel good about when we do it. Now, mine that I would fill in on top, and I'm reflecting too that the Israelites struggled with those same three things 3,500 years ago. So we haven't changed all that much. They wanted a little more. They didn't trust God to provide. Their identity was built in as they were slaves. We still have those same problems. Mine, if I were to write in something on that first line about why don't I observe the Sabbath, is I think in my head, well, if I just get through those emails on Sunday, then the rest of my week is going to go so much smoother. Or if I just make that one more phone call or do this one more thing and I get that done today, then my week isn't stacked up so much. And so I want to knock that out. I want to check that box. I want to free up my week so it's not so busy or overloaded. What I want to say to us today is that it's important for us to get those things done or to let them go. It takes a lot of humility to practice the Sabbath, to say that it all doesn't depend on you. There's a grandiosity about it that if we think we can't keep the Sabbath, that maybe we're way too important in our own mind to the world. And the Sabbath teaches us when we stop that the world goes on still and that God still is doing good things. And it reminds us that God loves us even when we're not working. Next slide. At midwinter, I got to hear Ruth Haley Barton speak, and she said these things in this session about Sabbath. And one thing that I liked is she said that there's no perfect Sabbath. There's no perfect Sabbath, but what we each need to do is to make the effort. And she said, Sabbath is the gift of ceasing, no productive activity. It's the gift of rest. It's the gift of trust, that we trust God provides over our striving. It's the gift of delight, of looking back and saying, what do I delight in? It's the gift of freedom. And so when we're kind of planning our Sabbath, we need to think about what do we need freedom from. And so for some of us, it's not just work. For some of us, it's worry. Like, how do you plan a day where you're not filled with worry? Or how do you actively let go or just have that be your prayer of, Lord, let me let go of worry? Technology. I know that we need freedom from technology. Like, I don't think Sabbath is just supposed to be us looking at our phones for a day and not working. You know, like, there has to be some freedom from the things that you think bind you, or just watching another television show or movie, or watching sports the entire day. Like, there has to be something where we're thinking, too, about, like, what do we need freedom from? Consumerism. We definitely, in the United States of America, need freedom from consumerism. So how do you plan a day where you get free from that? Or from approval of, like, having others give you your value because they approve of you? A few ideas. It's the gift of remembering, allowing God to put us back together. Who are you? Whose are you? It's the gift of belonging. It's this. It's being able to get hugs today and share love and receive love, give love. It's the gift of being restored or healed. So my big ask or my big encouragement is for the rest of April, which is two Sundays. Throw away today if you're too busy already and have plans that you can't do. Who cares? But for the next two Sundays, would you try to live the Sabbath? Would you try to live the Sabbath? And have that actual feeling with it, right? Like, how do you create a day where you have that feeling of refreshment? So next Sunday and the following Sunday, where you get everything done by Saturday, or you don't get everything done and you stop. And here's another thing that might be helpful. I've always thought of it as, you know, Sunday, the day, would be my day of Sabbath. But for Jewish people, it was from sunset on Friday until sunset on Saturday. So this might be your little out clause for some of you. You could do Saturday night until sunset on Sunday night, and then you could rush and do some of those emails on Sunday night before Monday started. And we continue to justify the things we want. But I do think it is true that we need the Sabbath for God to form us. And I do think it is true that we can get in the cycle of busyness where we simply are part of the culture and we don't hear God's voice to us. We don't enjoy the gift that is given. So the thing that I want us to understand and what the scripture teaches is that the Sabbath is a gift. It's a gift. It's a gift for you. But it is also how God will form you. And I would want to say too, if we want our lives to change the world in whatever way that is, Mother Teresa's life was patterned off of this. All of the people who were part of her order, they did this. We face a lot of pain in this world. We face a lot of challenges. You need rest. You need to be refreshed. You need to be put back together. And there is a difference between a cultural Sabbath, where our mindset starts to be, I need Sunday to refresh so I can work more productively the rest of the week. That's not what we're talking about. That's like a cultural Sabbath where we're trying to be more efficient by taking rest. What we're talking about is reordering our lives on who God tells us to be. We're taking a Sabbath so we remember who we are and we remember who we're called to be. Not so that we can be more efficient, but so that we're reordered, so we remember who we are. May we all enjoy the Sabbath.